Let's head to Ukraine and Joseph Lindsley. And Joe, I imagine there is some reaction to the pick of J.D. Vance last night at the Republican convention. His position on Ukraine, certainly well known. Are people talking about that?
Hello from Kyiv. Still another 100-degree day here. And indeed, the mood is heavy with the news of the selection of J.D. Vance. And also heavy with recent statements in the past few days from the White House. And so we can look at both of these today because, you know, it was a week ago from yesterday that the Russians had that one of the worst attacks during these past 2.5 years on Kyiv City. You know, I wasn't here in Kyiv at the time, but from everyone with whom I've spoken, I mean, that was the hellish day they had faced. Except for those early days when the Russians were at the edge of the city, there were explosions left and right, and then especially that, you know, the Kyiv, Ukraine's top pediatric cancer hospital was mostly destroyed. Doctors and kids were killed, and that was so horrible in the lead up to the NATO summit last week that there was a hope that the White House would then respond and say, okay, Ukraine, you're able to hit back, and you can hit the Russian bases from which they are attacking you. And the White House has made it, and the Pentagon have made it very clear these past couple of days that because many reporters have been asking them, come on, are you going to take off, you know, remove these shackles from Ukraine? And they've made it very clear that there's zero interest, and even that if they did give that permission to Ukraine, that it would somehow lead to escalation and some bigger war. So from the White House perspective, it's really heavy here for people in Ukraine. People were very mad, of course, about that attack on the hospital. And then to top it off, of course, former President Trump picked J.D. Vance, senator from Ohio, my home state, actually, as his running mate. And he's been one of the main voices against Ukraine. I remember, you know, a few months ago, he was speaking on X, like a live session on X, formerly Twitter, with Elon Musk, about Ukraine, saying things that were not really based in fact and reality, but it's, you know, he's been a leading voice of Americans who are skeptical of Ukraine support. And for example, first I'll say that most people here are very depressed about this, but I have a slightly different perspective because J.D. Vance is someone who has had many transformations. He went from being a hillbilly, self-described, his famous book that became a movie, Hillbilly Elegy. He went from being a hillbilly to a Yale Law alumnus. He went from a darling of Hollywood now to a Trumpist, so certainly not loved by Hollywood now. And he used to say that Trump was comparable to Hitler, and now he's saying Trump is the best freedom guy in the world. Mm-hmm. J.D. Vance used to be a Protestant. In 2019, he became a Catholic. So he's got a history of whatever motive or reasons. I'm not questioning that at all, but a history of transformations. And so maybe there's a chance he would transform on Ukraine. It's hard to I think for many people to see that, to even imagine that. But he had a story in the New York Times in April of this year saying the math on Ukraine doesn't add up. And he wrote this, you know, of course, as a U.S. senator. And there is an underlying truth to that. In some of his criticisms, you know, he's criticized when he hears the White House talking about $60 billion spending package for Ukraine. J.D. Vance is saying, you know, shouldn't we be spending this money on America? But what he misses, and what's amazing, because you would think in the Senate you would know this, you have to know it, that most, as we've talked about so many times, that $60 billion, every one of these, you know, billion-dollar packages for Ukraine is not cash, you know? Most of that is evaluation of old weapons that America had in storage, and we weren't going to use anyway. And some of that money is for America to buy new weapons, which we were going to buy anyway as well. And so this gets missed. And I think somewhere there's an opportunity for people who support Ukraine to say, yeah, J.D. Vance is right. The math on Ukraine does not add up because it's not actually $60 billion. And, you know, 2023, for example, was the best year ever for sales of American weapons. Because what the U.S. has done and what the White House, you know, with their Ukraine policy, they've given Ukraine some amazing free samples. you know, like three Patriot missile batteries that protect, for example, the city of Kyiv. But just a small amount of free samples that have shown, especially European countries, how great and effective American weapons are. But they give just enough to Ukraine to keep Ukraine on life support while Russia, the Russian threat grows. And this makes European countries more afraid, and they start buying more American weapons. And so somewhere in J.D. Vance's rhetoric and his articles about Ukraine, there's a truth. There is a bit of dishonesty, which is normal in Washington, in the math about Ukraine. And so, if he could focus on that aspect of it, there's a chance maybe that he could have a change of heart. I think. I mean, I do know there are people close to former President Trump who do believe in Ukraine, and there's a lot of maneuvering happening at Mar-a-Lago and in Trump circles on who's going to work in a Trump White House if that does happen.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a big battle between the people who support Ukraine and those who don't. And for someone like J.D. Vance, the question is, if his objections against Ukraine, which really are about the money, if those can be shown not to be as if that can be exposed as it's not a Ukraine problem, it's a Washington problem. If he can have a change of heart, that would show that this is simply about math. If he doesn't have a change of heart, it shows that maybe ideologically he somehow supports Russia. So this is the big thing that'll be debated and discussed. But I think that for people who support Ukraine, they're not. I mean, you can't get they haven't got this far by being hopeless and despondent. So continuing to try to make the case, no matter who's president, that Ukrainians, if they have the tools, can win. And President Zelensky said today, Ukrainians, they've started to produce their own tools and weapons. I mean, they have to, and it's a very innovative, engineering-minded country. And so they have these self-propelled artillery units called Bodana. And Ukraine is now producing more of this type of self-propelled artillery unit than any country in Europe. And so I think we're seeing that Ukrainian defense industry, by necessity, is getting stronger. And so that's something that can also benefit the U.S. with the development of technology.
Good points you made about J.D. Vance's changing opinions. And let's not forget that he's a former Marine corporal, too. He served in Iraq, and he did a four-year enlistment in the Marines as a combat correspondent. He was in Iraq for 6 months. So, as you said, we don't know what ultimately his opinion will be, do we?
Yeah, and as someone who served in the military, he understands some of these things. But, it's a common point, and we heard this a little bit at the convention yesterday from other people in Milwaukee, that we're prolonging. This is what J.D. Vance wrote in the New York Times in April. We don't want to prolong a bloody and gruesome war. But anyone who says that is not speaking to Ukrainians. The Ukrainians are happy that this is prolonged because they're still alive, they're still free. And so they keep saying, "Give us the tools and we can put an end to this." But they don't want to stop it and live in tyranny. So.
We'll get to the news here in 2 minutes, and Joe, we'll talk again with you tomorrow. Thank you.
Thank you, Bob. Until tomorrow.